May be seated. It looks like all I got today is teenagers. Sam's already heard of the children's service. Oh, you missed it. First thing that Jesus says in the Gospel, John gives the wedding at Cana. He turns water into wine. And the very next thing he does is he drives the animals out of the heaven. That means John must be up to something different than Matthew and Mark. All of them recognize that the presence of the animals themselves are a necessary part of the economy. The way it worked in those days was that the temple was set up, there was the outer courtyard where merchants were set up, because the religious economy at the time called for, at certain times of the year, you needed to make animal sacrifices for various reasons. Sins or go to check out Leviticus. It lists all different kinds of sacrifices that you need to do for different reasons. And sometimes it's a sheep without blemish, sometimes it's a cow, sometimes it's just a dove. But that's what you do. In my children's sermon, I brought this to show it to you. This is what the collection plate would have looked like in Jesus' time. Sheep, rams, and this guy, which took us a long time to figure out this was a goat. It's actually a black sheep. So it's suddenly my favorite one. But in those days, the offering was noisy and bloody and smelly. And so we have this wonderful image of our ushers who are always stately and dignified, you know, coming up and ever smiling. And taking your money and bringing the offering on the altar. But in those days, nobody had a station wagon. So they, instead of dragging the sheep from home, they would stop at the marketplace outside the temple and buy the right kind of animal for sacrifice. Or they would have to get the temple down. Because that's what you do. You have to pay the temple tax. But you can't pay the temple tax to just be money. You can't get out of our modern idea that, well, you know, if you have a dollar bill in Alabama, it's just as good as it is in Hawaii. Well, higher. You know. But in those days, every region had its own currency. So you need to have someone to turn all of that weird money into money that was okay to pay for the temple. So all of this stuff, this economy, it's good for the local economy, right? Because you've got merchants and people making their living doing these things. It was also the right kind of economy for their religion. Because, well, you got to make sacrifices because that's how you make right to your relationship with God. It was broken. You were broken. And the way that you convince God or call on God is through sacrifice, to bring things back and back. So I wonder, John must be up to something altogether different than Mark. John isn't worried about blaspheming the temple or giving an excuse for Jesus to get killed. This starts at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He has received the baptism by John. He is beginning his ministry, and he is saying something altogether different. He drives out the animals, I think, because they are no longer needed to set right the relationship with God. We have become so accustomed to looking for God and going where God was and raising smoke up to please God so that we could be right. And the person of Jesus, it all gets turned on its head.
no longer do we go to the temple or to the high place to be near God, for God and Jesus has come to us. The fullness of grace. In Jesus, the necessity of sacrifice has been replaced with the gift. Wonderful song that says, "Your sacrifices are an offense to me, and your burnt offerings," in Hebrew it's on sting my nose. "I'm done with that now," Jesus says. Maybe John's account, where he does not drive out the people, but drives out the devil, gives us insight into this new relationship that God has made with God's people. And with us. Where once you went to the temple and you made your sacrifice and everything was set back in order, instead God has come to us in all fullness everywhere. And the sacrifice of God itself for us. It's a powerful way we can think about what God is up to in this new thing. In Jesus Christ, God has created a new economy. And there is no place for him for the old gods. I truly wrote this gospel because so often we have the opportunity to preach about how the church has kind of lost its focus and how the church now trusts me, it's going to happen when I'm right doing business. I probably spend as much time doing business as I do doing ministry. I think one of the most embarrassing days of my professional life was one Sunday we had done our year's planning and we had planned to actually have a marketplace in the Northwest. The kids were selling cookies, the women were selling baked goods. We had a whole marketplace going, and of all Sundays, it was on the Sunday of this next game. I remember standing up there going, "And you shall not meet with my father's house marketplace," and then looking at the rivers. This new economy has been welcomed in the deep grace of God. Where we see and experience a God who continues to pursue us even to the ends of the earth. That is the new God. This grace that we are in place. But we admit that it's a problem. At least for those of us who make our faith this way. Because you see, if you can encounter God, and God is searching for you everywhere, and you can encounter God anywhere, any place, at any time, then why the heck are you all here? I was thinking, what is going to make an awesome Airbnb? It turns out that after 30 years of taking a look at Bill's like, I'm in.
Churches in England where they no longer have congregations where they're doing it.
They're doing it, but you know, you can meet, for 30 years, I can say, I know you all think you can find God on the golf course, but it's not true. Except in John, it is. Although the prayers I've seen on the golf course. I'm going to let David Lewis speak. He says it better than I ever could. There's no point in saying it any other way. So why come on Sunday, he says, if God is available and present everywhere? Simply because this good news is so hard to remember amid the hassles and challenges and heartaches and tragedies of everyday life. One glance at the headlines brightens our belief that God is present. is with us. And so we go to church. Not because it's the best or only place to experience God, but because at church we can detect God's promise and presence most clearly and easily. The beauty of our hymns and the words of the sermon and the bread and wine and the water of sacraments, we hear clearly the bold proclamation and promise that God is with and for us. And that experience equips and encourages us to look for and even partner with God's presence and work in the world. Our call, he says, is not to draw people into church because this is the place people will see God. Our call is to invite people to church because having experienced God during this 1 hour and a half, he says hour and a half, they might be more able to detect God and God's presence in the other 167 hours of their week. And so we do not come to the marketplace. But rather, we move from a transactional relationship with God to a relational relationship with God. From our place of trying to find God in hidden places to God seeking us out in our most hidden places. And we gather to sing of the wonders of God and to share together in conversation and laughter and hope. Because this is only the smallest place where you will encounter God. You will see God in your work, and in your play, and in your fights, and in your laughter, and in your time of repose, and in your sleep. And even when you are most frightened, for God seeks us out even there. Lord Jesus of Nazareth, we have been made right with God in this beautiful